I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord, and welcome back to those who have traveled. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord strengthen you. And I know that all of us who have traveled, when we come back, we are glad to be back here. Although we like to go away, but when we come back, we find that it is really a great joy to be back. May the Lord bless all of us here in this new year as we serve the Lord together. Now, the subject this morning is not just servants, but friends. Not just servants, but friends. Friends of the Lord, not just His servants. I remember years ago, I could have told you this before, years ago, when I first joined this company, there was this big boss, an American boss, whom I found very difficult to understand because he didn't speak. He always mumbled. Then I thought I was the only one who didn't understand him. And then one day I saw him talking to three managers in the company. Those were his immediate subordinates. And they appeared to be listening very intently. Then after that, the big boss walked away. And then these three subordinates of his looked at one another and said, "Hey, what did he say? What did he say?" All three of them looked at the other two and asked that question, and all burst out laughing because they didn't know what he said. So I wasn't the only one who didn't understand what he said. But here we had three pairs of ears of seasoned managers who didn't understand what their boss was talking about. Sounds impossible, but that was what I saw that day. How much better that day if the big boss had not just said what he wanted to say, not only once, but if he had said it, say, three times, I'm sure his subordinates would have understood him better. But maybe it wasn't something very important, so he just merely said it once. But friends, this morning I'd like us to see that there was this occasion when the Lord Jesus Christ said something very, very important. And he wanted his disciples to know that it was really very, very important. And he said it three times. He gave his command. Yes, he gave a commandment. The Lord gave a commandment. And he gave this commandment three times. Right? This is a commandment to love. Now you look at John chapter 15 verse 12. John 15 verse 12. The Lord says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Love one another. And then look at verse 17. "These things I command you, that ye love one another." So you see, love one another. And he gave that same commandment actually earlier that evening in John chapter 13 and verse 34. Look at John 13 and 34. John chapter 13, verse 34. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." So he gave this commandment three times. Now, if the Lord said it once, I think that would have been good enough for the disciples to obey. And surely it is good enough for us to obey if the Lord had just said it once. Love one another. But the fact was, the Lord gave it three times. Three times. Now, let's understand who it was who gave this commandment. Of course, the one who gave this commandment was none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is none other than the great Jehovah of the Old Testament. He's the great I Am. He said, "Before Abraham was, I Am." So He is the great I Am of the Old Testament who gave the Ten Commandments. Now I'd like us to see the importance of the Ten Commandments. And I'd like us to see how terrifying, how awesome that event was when the Ten Commandments were given by the one true living God to the children of Israel through Moses. Now please turn with me to Exodus chapter 19. Alright, I'd like us to see the awesomeness, alright, and how terrifying that event was. John, Exodus 19 verse 10. Exodus 19 and verse 10. I read for you. Alright, from verse 10 to verse 19, let me read for you verse 10. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day, for the third For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. Verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Frightening event. 17. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on the smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Yes, friends, it was a very, very awesome and frightening event. When we read this, of course, we can't imagine, but it was really a very, very frightening event. Yes, thunder and lightning, and the mountain shook. My dear friends, frightening event it was when God gave His commandments to the children of Israel. Now, God made it spectacular, not because He wanted to make it spectacular. He had a purpose. God made it spectacular to tell the children of Israel how important the laws of God were and how important it was for them to obey the laws of God. Now, this new commandment given by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was given without thunder, without lightning, without the shaking of mountains, no fire, no smoke, no sound of trumpet. Does it mean that it is less important than the Ten Commandments given at the time of Moses? No, my dear friends. The fact is, it is just as important. You know why? Because it is a commandment. It is a commandment. And so important this commandment is, and the Lord wants His disciples to obey, He wants us to obey, that the Lord gave this commandment three times, not just once, but three times. As we said, if the Lord had said it once, it would have sufficed for us to obey. But He said it three times. He wants us to understand very, very clearly that we must obey this law, that we love one another. Now, if the Lord had given it once, we should already be saying like what the great King David did. He said, God has spoken once, twice have I heard. Yes. So does it mean that the Lord said it three times, we must be hearing it only six times? Of course not. What it means is, we have to hear it, and to hear it, and we'll hear it again, and obey, and obey, and obey. That's what it means. And the Lord wants us to do just that. Obey, and obey, and obey this important commandment. Now, it is a commandment as weighty, as we said, as the Ten Commandments. So there is really no option. All of us must necessarily obey this law. A new commandment. Verse, I'd like us to turn to John chapter 13, 34. John 13, 34. The Lord says, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I've loved you, that ye love one another. A new commandment. Now, actually, it is not a new commandment that the Lord gave. Now, this commandment is actually quite a summary of the second part of the Ten Commandments. Remember, the second part of the Ten Commandments are commandments given by the Lord to direct us how we should be loving one another. Yes. Now, the Jews over time actually distorted the meaning of the commandments. So the Lord had to teach them and say, I'm giving you a new commandment. The reason is they had distorted the meaning of the Ten Commandments. And they actually didn't know how to love. And they were observing the laws to the very, very letter. Yes, and so they said, we said it many times, they said this, if a person didn't take up a knife to kill somebody with that knife, then he's not guilty of murder. Yes, so long as nobody actually gets killed, no murder is committed. And so they were very, very tolerant of hatred. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came, the Lord gave them this commandment, new commandment, to tell them about the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law is that we should love. Yes, he said this, if you so much as entertain hatred against anybody, you would have already committed murder. You don't have to actually kill somebody to commit murder. So long as you entertain hatred, and that's it, you have already committed murder. And then when the Jews saw the Lord Jesus Christ eating with the publicans and with sinners, they condemned him because they didn't know how to love. And the Lord had to tell them this, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And as far as the Jews were concerned, yes, they said, it was always this, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand. Yes, in other words, they said that it was legitimate for someone to hurt somebody else equally if he had been hurt by that person in the first instance. And that was what they believed in. And that was what they thought the law taught. Yes, in other words, what they were saying was revenge was permissible so long as you don't overhurt the other party, so long as the hurt, two kinds of hurt, are equal. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he said, no revenge, but we are to love. Love even your enemies. So the Lord wanted to correct the Jews' erroneous idea of the commandments, and he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. My dear friends, we have heard this commandment. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye should love one another. Over and over and over again. But I trust we are not tired of hearing this commandment. Love one another. Love one another. But this commandment every day will come upon us with freshness, so that every day we will aim how we may be able to love others as the Lord wants us to love. Let us obey this commandment in a very eager manner, just like David did when he said this, of God's commandments. He said, God has spoken once, twice have I heard. And remember this truth, the Lord gave these commandments not just once, but three times. Therefore, it is very, very incumbent on us to obey this commandment given by the Lord. Now, it's vitally important that we obey this commandment. Church history and our experiences tell us that it is precisely the lack of this love that causes lots of problems in the church. You agree? Yes, the lack of love that causes lots of problems in the church. Churches split, and they split again, and they split again. Why? Because members of the church do not know how to love one another. And so, churches split. Now, but that must never be the case here in this church, my dear friends. Yes, how can the world know that the gospel that we believe in is true if we do not know how to love one another? How can the world know that we are truly disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ if we do not know how to love one another? Yes, the Lord has made it very, very clear in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So, my dear friends, it's absolutely necessary that we love one another. How else would people know that we are disciples of the Lord? They can't tell, friends. Now, the world, of course, cannot understand the deep doctrines that we believe in. All right, we have many deep doctrines in the church. The world cannot understand those deep doctrines. Even though these doctrines are very, very vital and important, and we should never, ever give one centimeter in regards to holding our position as far as our doctrines are concerned. But friends, the world doesn't understand the doctrines that we believe in. But the world understands one thing. The world understands love. If we show love, the world understands what love is. Yes. And if we show love for to one another as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The world is going to take notice. Alright, you might not know it. If we know how to show love to one another, the world outside there is going to take notice of our behavior. They are going to say, there is something worthy in the gospel that these people believe in. Is there something that they know, something that they have, that I do not know and I do not have? My dear friends, they are going to ask questions like this when they look at us. Now, what kind of love were the disciples commanded to love with? What kind? I'd like us to look at verse 12, John 15, and look at verse 12. The Lord says this, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I loved you." You saw the words? "As I loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. As I have loved you." Now that's the kind of love the Lord expects us to show. What kind of love is that? Love as I have loved you. That love, my dear friends, is agape love. It is sacrificial love. Now, this kind of love is very lofty. But that's the kind of love that we are commanded to love with. Now, of course, the question we will be asking is this. Then, can I love? How can I love other people sacrificially? Impossible for me to do so. Yes, it's right. It's true. Impossible to love with this kind of love by our own strength, by our own ability. But friends, understand this truth. The Word of God says we can love with this kind of love. It is possible for us to love with this kind of love. If it is not possible for us to love with this kind of love, the Lord is not going to command us to love with this love. But what is the means which the Lord has given to us to love with this love? It is the feeling of God's mighty Holy Spirit. When we come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into us. He dwells in us. He abides in us forever. But friends, we might not necessarily be filled with God's mighty Holy Spirit. In other words, we might not absolutely be under His control. But friends, we need to be under His control. We need to be filled with God's mighty Holy Spirit. And it is when we are filled with God's mighty Holy Spirit that we are able to show love. Because the Holy Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit in love, in us. And what is the first part of the fruit of the Spirit? The first fruit, the first part. Love, of course. That's the fruit of the Spirit, my dear friends. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. So the whole Holy Spirit filling us will enable us to love the way that the Lord wants us to love. Now, as we said, this agape love is something that is very lofty, so lofty that sometimes it can become very, very theoretical. Alright, because we would not have the occasions of having to lay down our life for somebody. Right? So, maybe it's difficult for us to express love in this manner because there would hardly be such an event for us to do so. But friends, we can show agape love in a very practical manner. Now, I came across this little write-up here. Let me read this to you on how we may be able to show love one to another. Slow to suspect, quick to trust. You know, when we lack love, we are always very, very suspicious of what other people are thinking, what other people are doing, and so forth. Yes, but let us be quick to trust. Slow to condemn, quick to justify. You know, if we lack love, we can become very, very condemnatory. Always wanting to condemn other people. But let us be quick to justify instead. Not justify ourselves, but justify the other party. Slow to offend, quick to defend. Of course not to defend ourselves, but quick to defend other people. Slow to expose, quick to shield. Slow to reprimand, quick to forbear. Slow to demand, quick to give. It is our inclination to demand, to make demands. Why can't I have this? Why shouldn't I have this? But friends, let us be quick to this. Slow to provoke, quick to conciliate. Slow to hinder, quick to help. Slow to resent, quick to forgive. My dear friends, this is how we may be able to express love to other people. Now the next question is, to whom is this commandment given? So the Lord gives a commandment, a new commandment, that ye love one another. Now the next question is, to whom is this commandment given? That's my second point. It is given not to unbelievers, but it's given to believers. In fact, this commandment is given to those whom he calls friends. Yes, this commandment is given to those whom he calls friends. It was first given to the disciples, and of course it is given to us also because we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave this commandment to those whom he calls friends. Please look at verses 14 and 15. 14 and 15. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You are my friends. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. Yes, henceforth I call you friends. Now we were once his enemies, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet his enemies, Christ died for us to reconcile us to God. Yes, so today we are no longer enemies of God, but we are friends of God. Now, but you notice in verse 15, the Lord says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. As I said earlier on, up to that time, his disciples were referred to as his servants. But now he says, I call you friends. Now, even if the Lord were to call his disciples servants, do you think that his disciples were worthy to be called his servants? What do you think? Now, do you seriously think that you and I are worthy to be called the servants of the one true living God? You seriously think that we are worthy? No, my dear friends. Understand this truth and remember this truth. We were his enemies once. We broke all his laws. We were rebels. We rebelled against him. We were heading for eternal hell punishment. But you know, God was so kind, so gracious. He took the initiative to send his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to the cross of Calvary, to die for us, to reconcile us unto himself, so that we may be friends of Jesus. Now we know that in many countries, if rebels are caught, they will be executed. Yes? And if they are not executed, they would most likely be put into long-term imprisonment. And for them to be set free is something quite unthinkable. Yet, The Lord, while we were yet rebels, understand this truth, while we were yet rebels, forgave us. He forgave us and he called us to serve him. He called us to be his servants. We were not worthy to be his servants. Now, would you hire your enemy to be your servant? Would you? You wouldn't. But the Lord said, come, you are my enemies. Alright, come, I forgive you and you be my servants. I say, friends, unthinkable, but that's what he did for us. While we were yet his enemies, he called us his servants. Called us to be servants. And then we were diseased with sin. A disease that is far, far, far more serious than the disease of leprosy. Now in the Old Testament days, when people suffered from leprosy, they would literally be considered dead. Because they would be completely isolated. And then they had to go about, clad themselves in a very identifier manner. And so when anybody came near to them, they would have to shout out, unclean, 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 so that nobody could come near them. This was, of course, to prevent the disease from spreading in those days. Now, my question to you is, would you be very, very prepared to hire a leper to be your servant? Would you? No one would. Would you? I wouldn't, would you? Surely you wouldn't. But friends, we are diseased with a disease far, far worse than leprosy. We are diseased with sin. Yet the Lord is so kind, so gracious. He forgave us and he called us to be his servants. Then, would you think of hiring a murderer, a liar, a cheat? No, you would not. I remember in those days working for this company, hiring people for the company. Every time we hire somebody into the company, we will make a character check. We'll call the previous employers. We'll try to find as much as possible about that person whom we are about to hire, particularly if he's offered a high job. We want to make sure that the person that we hired was a person of integrity. We would not be interested in a murderer, a liar, or a cheat. No, we would not. But friends, we were all this. All this. Liars, murderers, cheats. But friends, the Lord says, come, be my servant, in spite of what we were. How kind, how gracious. Then, as servants, can we profit him in any way? You think about it. Can you and I profit God in any way? We can't. Yes, he does not need our service in the first instance. God is absolutely self-sufficient. He is absolutely perfect. He does not need us to glorify him because we cannot add anything to his glory. He's already perfectly glorious. But he very, very kindly condescended to allow us to glorify him. That is how gracious and how kind he is. He has to call us to be his servants. Then, after presenting our bodies to him, like what we said this morning, we want to present our bodies to the one true living God, and after serving him to the best of our ability, you know what we should be saying to the Lord? We should be saying this to him: Lord, I admit that I am but an unprofitable servant. Yes, unprofitable servant, because we can't profit the Lord in any way. We are indeed unprofitable servants. Yet he has called us to be servants. So friends, as servants, we should count ourselves to be very, very privileged to be his servants. Yes. But the most astounding thing, the most astounding truth that we have here is that he called us not only to be his servants, but he called us to be his friends. Look at verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. So he has called us to be his friends. Dear friends, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler of the whole wide universe, calls us his friends. Not just servants, but friends. Do you understand the significance of this relationship? That we are friends of the one true living God, the Almighty God. Now, in the Old Testament, there was only one man who was called the friend of God. Who was he? Abraham. Only one man who was called the friend of God. We read this in James chapter 2, verse 23, and also in the passage that Deacon Anthony read earlier on. Yes, James 2, 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. He was called the friend of God. Yes. And then there was another person to whom God talked face to face, or spoke face to face as a friend to a friend. Who was he? Moses. Alright. Yes, and this is recorded for us in the book of Exodus. God spoke to Moses as a friend to a friend. How sparingly people were called friends of the one true living God in the Old Testament. But friends, you and I are called friends of the Almighty God, the one true living God. Do you know how privileged we are to be called friends of the Almighty God? You know how privileged we are to have a friend in someone who is very, very powerful. He's absolutely powerful. Indeed, we are very, very privileged to have such a friend. One who is absolutely powerful. I remember some years ago, a young man got into trouble with the law in Singapore. Not that he was a wicked young man. He was actually a very good boy. But he got into trouble with the law in Singapore because he forgot to do one thing. He had at that time not completed his national service commitment yet. He left the country without an exit permit. That was a very serious offense. All right. But he knew a friend in government who was very influential, very powerful, and so he appealed to him for help. And that friend helped. He intervened and then cleared this young man of his wrongdoing. But friends, just having an earthly friend who is powerful is already such a great privilege. We have whom? We have the one true living God, the King of Kings, the all-powerful God, to be our friend. Are we not privileged? I say we are very, very privileged indeed. Do you realize that we have this privilege? We have him as our friend. Yes, he's on our side. We are on his side. He's on our side. How wonderful it is to have this God as our friend. Now, this friend is not just a casual, distant friend. No, this friend laid down his life for us. He gave us his all so that we could become his friends. Yes, that's what he did. He shed his precious blood for us on the cross of Calvary in order that we can be made his friends. He was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And you know something? This friend of ours knows everything and everything about us. And yet, he loves us. And yet, he treats us as his friend. Isn't he a true friend? Absolutely true friend. Psalm 139 verse 2 says, "Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off." God knows everything and everything about us. Even our most distant thoughts. Right now, even if you are daydreaming. Did you know that God knows that you are daydreaming and he knows what you are daydreaming about? That's what he knows about us. He knows our most distant thoughts. Yes. And Psalm 139 verse 3 says, "Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways." He knows everything and everything about us. And yet he loves us. You know, it's hard. You know everything and everything about somebody and still love him. It's hard to love in that way. But if you are able to love in that way, then you are a true friend of that person. You know, on this earth, who is our most true friend? I guess it would be our spouse, right? Our spouse knows everything and everything about us. In Malay, we say, he or she knows our bau and still loves us. You know, the word bau means odor or smell. He knows all about us and still loves us. Or he loves me. He knows all about me and still loves me. She knows all about me and she still loves me. Friends, that's what a true friend is. Yes? And as a true friend, he tells us what we really are. Not through an audible voice. You know, only true friends will tell you what you really are. What you really are. Not through an audible voice, but through his word. His word is like a mirror that tells us all about us, all that we need to know about ourselves. Yes, he is a true friend. He tells us all about ourselves. And as a true friend, he forgives us when we confess our sins and when we sin against him. For his word says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, what kind of friend is he? Friends, absolutely good friend. A very, very true friend. A very, very faithful friend. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the next question is, how did we become his friends? How? You don't want to know the truth? The truth is, he made us his friends. That's the truth. Verse 16, you see? Look at verse 16. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Even from before the foundation of the world, even from the everlasting past, the Lord had already chosen us to be his friends. Even from before the foundation of the world." Now, lest we think that we were so smart, so clever, so discerning that we were able to choose him, let us understand this truth. It's not we who chose him. It was he who chose us even from before the foundation of the world. Now, how do we know that? We know that because his word tells us so. I'd like us to turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and look at verses 3 to 6. You will see that the Lord chose us to be his very own right from before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 to 6. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 to 6. Verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Verse 4. according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. You see, He chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us. You see, from eternity past, He had already predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Not because we wanted to choose Him, but He chose us in accordance to what? According to the good pleasure of His will. In other words, it pleased Him to choose us, and so He chose us. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Then there was a day in time. We heard His call. He called us. He chose us from eternity past. And there was a day when we heard His call. And what did we do? We responded. He said to us, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. They shall be as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as snow." And we heard that invitation. He said, "Come now." And we heard that invitation. We came to Him and we became His friends. Some might say, "But how am I to know that I've been chosen by Him? How am I to know?" Many people ask that question. How am I to know that I've been chosen by Him, elected by Him to be His friend? Now, you know that you have been elected by Him, chosen by Him, if you respond to His call. Yes, if you respond to His call. If you will not respond to His call, it shows that you have never been chosen by Him. That's why you didn't respond. My dear friends, in our midst, the most relevant questions for us to ask are these. Yes, are we responding to His call? Are we? Or have we responded to His call? It is not whether I'm elected or not. But the real question for us to ask is this. Am I responding to His call? Have I responded to His call? If I have, or if I'm responding to His call, then I have been elected from eternity past. But how sure are we that we are His friends? How sure? In other words, how sure are we that we have been elected by Him? How sure are we that we are saved? Ah, friends, listen, look at verse 14. Verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. The question is, how do we view His commandments? Something which we talked about last week. How do we view His commandments? Do we love His commandments? Do we delight to obey His commandments? If we do, then we are His friends. We are assured of our salvation. And as we said, on the night the Lord was betrayed, He gave this commandment to love one another three times. Three times. My dear friends, the question is, do we really love one another? Do we? Now, if we say that we are elected, we are saved, do we really love one another? And this is a very, very pertinent question for us to answer, my dear friends. Yes, don't take it lightly. I mean, we are a small congregation here. How can we have misunderstandings in this church? If we have misunderstandings in this church, we must very, very quickly clear up the misunderstandings. Just look at one another. The Lord says, "He's your fellow disciple." The Lord says to the other person, "He's your fellow disciple. Love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. By this shall all men know that you are indeed my friends." So if we are not able to love one another, we have to ask ourselves this question. Have we really been chosen by Him? If we really have been chosen by Him, then we must necessarily love one another. No excuse for not loving one another. No option for not loving one another. We have to love one another. That's what the Lord says. Three times. Remember, He gave that commandment three times. Not just once. Three times. Love one another. He gave this commandment three times, as He said. If He gave it once, it would have been good enough. But friends, He gave it three times. And this commandment is as weighty as the Ten Commandments that He gave at Mount Sinai. And this commandment, in actual fact, is somewhat a summary of the second part of the Ten Commandments. Now, the Lord gave it three times. Let us be sure that we hear it again and again and obey again. Yes, as He has loved us, we are to love. We are to show the kind of love that He has loved us with, namely sacrificial love, agape love. And this commandment is given not just to anybody, but given to us who are His friends. He treats us not only as servants, but He treats us as His friends. And this commandment has been given to us who are His friends. Yes, and what a privilege, as we said, it is for us to have to be called His friends. We are indeed a very, very privileged people. And the most wonderful thing is that it is not we who chose Him, but He chose us from eternity past to be His very own, to be His friends. What a great privilege we have, my dear friends, to be considered His friend. By Him, not by anybody else, but by Him. The question for all of us here this morning is this: are we His friends? Are we? Now, if you are not His friend yet, why don't you become His friend today? He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Why don't you come and trust Him as Lord and Savior? Why don't you turn away from your sins, turn to the one true living God, turn to Jesus, repent from your sins? And my dear friends, if you sincerely did that this morning, He will treat you, He will regard you as His friend. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. O Lord, we thank You that You have given this wonderful commandment to us for us to obey, to love one another as You have loved us. Father, we know that we are not able to love by our own strength, but You would not be unreasonable to give us a commandment that we are not able to obey. But we thank You, O Lord, for Your mighty Holy Spirit, who fills us if we desire Him to fill us, to enable us to obey Your commandments. So, Lord, we pray this morning that He may fill us so that we may show this love that You want us to show. And, Father, we thank You for the great privilege that You have called us to be Your friends. Teach us, O Lord God, to treasure this relationship that we have with You. And we pray that we may clearly demonstrate that we are Your friends. And we pray for those who are still outside Your kingdom, who are still Your enemies, rebels. Cause them to repent this morning. Cause them to turn to You. Cause them to receive You as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.